Let's go.
This is the Training Camp Review Podcast from Patriots.com.
Tempo in and out of the huddle.
The Training Camp Review Podcast is your daily source for all the news from Patriots training camp. Couldn't make it to the Patriots practice? Don't worry. The writers of Patriots Football Weekly have you covered. Well, maybe not Fred.
It's supposed to be hot. Supposed to be tough. The NFL. Training camp.
Now, here to review today's practice, the writers of PFW.
On this last day of July, it's the fifth day of Patriots training camp 2012. Eric Scalavino, Paul Perillo, Andy Hart here to recap it for you. Guys, I think the big news of the day that I took from today's practice, another full pad session, by the way, was actually seeing Brandon Spikes getting actively involved in the defense. Got a lot of reps today, some quality reps with him in there, and he looked rather excited to be actually taking part now rather than just standing around being an observer. Paul, you had a chance to talk to him quickly a little bit after practice. What did he have to say?
He's excited. He was looking forward to getting out there, and obviously the first weekend of camp, he didn't get a chance to do a whole lot, and he was really looking forward to it. I thought today might be a day. Andy had a good foreshadowing during Belichick's press conference by asking about Spikes. Bill didn't give us really a whole lot of insight as to when he might get out there, but I thought maybe after a day off, you might see either some PUP guys trickle back onto the field or a guy who clearly was close enough that he was dressed and in pads. And he was raring to go. He thought like the first play, he said, you know, just kind of letting out some frustration. Was real excited to get back on the field, and he was his regular enthusiastic self, I would say.
Just to rein in the positivity, because I did. He was
all
over the place.
That's what you do.
Well, no, and he was banging people, throwing his body around.
He didn't make any plays.
No.
Today.
He clearly limped off after.
I didn't notice that.
He had a noticeable right knee limp. Right leg type limp, and he's wearing a sleeve on the right knee. I thought he had a pretty noticeable limp.
He also spent some time in between two different sessions of team periods stretching, doing a lot of stretching. I asked him if he was 100%.
Gets torn down if he doesn't practice tomorrow.
Correct, which means I got to get out of this podcast quickly so I can write it. And then
tomorrow's
update's a new day.
That's right, it's a whole new day.
It's perfect, then it's a new update tomorrow.
Absolutely.
One day after making
As Kevin Mannix once told me, don't write today what you can write tomorrow.
Andy, I think when we saw practice the other day, we were in agreement that Rob Gronkowski had perhaps the worst practice we've ever seen him have, mentally and physically. But I think he bounced back pretty well today, along with his fellow tight end Aaron Hernandez, and even the rookie Tyler Urban did pretty well.
Yeah, the Urban legend is growing on me a little bit here. He had a touchdown the other day. He had a nice catch in traffic today. I knew nothing about him when they signed him this spring. Like, literally, I mean, I joked that he probably blocked Bruce Irvin at West Virginia, so at least we can, you know he goes against good pass rushers or something. I mean, I knew nothing. And to me, he's looked fine out there. He has competed. Now, obviously, they have depth, but, you know, Fells is out. Shanko
was out today, too,
So they have all this great depth, except, you know, none of them practice or really making an impact. Even Shanko, the other day, I said, you know, wasn't really practicing on the goal line, and Urban got the chance, and he had that nice catch from Mallett in the back of the end zone. So, but yes, the top of the tight end depth chart is as back to being impressive after that one-day scare of Gronk. I thought he was fighting for the ball today, was wide open a couple other times, in which Pepper Johnson said, no one covered the tight end. And it's not good when Rob Gronkowski's in the middle of the field wide open. And Hernandez, to me, is the star of camp so far.
He's been the best
player.
He and
Lloyd are neck and neck to me for the most plays made.
Yeah, I agree with you on Hernandez. With Urban, in retrospect now, Shanko didn't practice today. I wonder if maybe he was banged up before that, and that's why Urban was getting those reps. But
it doesn't matter. All these
doesn't matter how you're getting
them. You know,
take
they bring in Bo
them.
Scaife, he can't do anything. They bring in Daniel Fells, he's there for like 2 days and then disappears. You know, just because you have Jake Ballard is not even an option. So even though they got all these nice looking names on the depth chart, just keep plugging away Tyler Urban because they could all fall by the wayside.
And if you're Tyler Urban and you're ready to go when you get out there, that's what you're looking for. Take advantage of the opportunities, and he has so far.
You know, it's like possession is 90% of the law, being out there is like
90%.
You know, same
exactly
thing. I mean, literally, that's the most important thing. Like when Bill says, well, you know, they're out there for special teams. Well, if they're on the roster for special teams, now they got a chance to play defense.
Right.
As long as you're out there, you have a chance, and he's been out there.
Right, which the opposite can be said about guys who are out there just in shorts and a t-shirt and aren't contributing. Guys like Alfonso Dennard, however he calls himself, who has been hurt since day two of camp.
Yes.
And has been out there observing, but not getting that opportunity to prove himself on the field, which is a little unfortunate. Quickly before we move on, let's go over some of the other guys who weren't there. The typical attendance sheet that we've had since the start of camp held true again today with a few extra additions.
It's getting bigger.
It's getting a little bit bigger.
Six guys still on PUP. McDonald, Mankins, Vollmer, Fells, Ballard, and Myron Pryor. A good amount of those guys were seen,
rehabbing, doing
their bike work, right, that they have been doing for most of the time. Andy's buddy, Marcus Zuzovic, he calls him Mark. Andy's very, very informal with the rookie. He's been out there still, but he's recovering from that torn pec. But the group missing practice in addition to Dennard, Nate Ebner still hasn't been out there. Jeremy Ebert still hasn't been out there. In a couple of additions the last couple, well, today, Shianko, we mentioned, Tony Fiametta, Jamie
not
Richard.
Not seen at all, which is not...
I saw Fiametta running...
later on?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Yep.
And Tracy White, I didn't see at all. I don't know if you guys... Did you guys see Tracy White today?
Did not see him at all.
I haven't seen Tracy White since.
He walked off the other day.
Yeah, and I didn't see Jamie Richard either, and we saw him leaving with Dr. Gill carrying his helmet.
Similar conditions.
I'm wondering if maybe there's a head injury involved there. Red jerseys remain the same. Matthew Stafford. Matthew Slater, very different player.
Matt Stafford's probably wearing a red jersey,
James
too,
Ahedibo,
I'm guessing.
And remaining on the did not report list is Brian Waters. Any update on that, Bill?
Nope.
No. But can I have a quick media aside? Wouldn't a very normal follow-up question?
We're just living in it.
Wouldn't a follow-up question be okay? There's no update. Have you spoken, or has anybody from the Patriots spoken to anybody in Brian Waters' camp?
Whatever questions I do or don't have with a player will
not asking,
between me and the player.
Not asking what was said, Bill. Have you spoken to him?
No, that would be the answer. Whatever conversations I have or don't have with a player will remain
right?
between me
Let's do that
me
tomorrow,
and the player.
Paul.
No. Well, I mean, I think our listeners know that we're sort of,
we're,
you know,
little,
we're under the umbrella
hamstrung.
Of the team, so we're not really looking to engage in any sort of questioning that could be any way deemed confrontational. Mm-hmm. So I don't really think that that's something that
it's something that
a beat writer
for
an independent newspaper should be worried about.
Independent.
Right?
Anyway, I agree with you. Yeah,
so that's the attendance report as it is.
Brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts.
A few additions, and Bill said none of the PUP guys, he mentioned before practice, none of the PUP guys would be coming back, and none of the PUP guys did come back.
Okay. For the first time, I thought we had a little bit of a sloppy camp with the running backs. Some fumbles.
Yep.
Some footballs hit the ground today.
No fumbles from Ridley, though.
No, not from Ridley.
No, he just dropped a pass and bobbled another one.
Well, he's not my pass catcher.
Okay. Still. Just saying. Ball security.
But as a group, they had, I think, their sloppiest day when it came to ball security.
Yes, they did not have a great day.
Yeah, Bolden fumbled one during a running portion of the practice, and then I thought both Vereen and Ridley, a little hit and miss catching the
Vereen
ball.
Oh, Vereen had a terrible,
terrible drop.
Where he just,
right after,
flat
been
out
play.
Turned his head and was turning upfield and didn't have the
it
ball.
It might have been the very play after Bolden fumbled. If not, it was within
it was pretty
two
close.
Or three.
Yeah, because they both had to go take a lap for doing.
Bolden with a ball.
Oh, he did.
He picked the ball up and
probably has
took
it at dinner
lap.
Right now.
Anything else stand out to you guys on either side of the ball? I kind of thought it was pretty evenly matched between, you know, the offense, particularly the tight ends, getting the better of some of the safeties. But yet, in the running game, I thought the defensive line, the front seven, kind of came up pretty good in their 11-on-11.
Yeah, I think running game, I thought the defense had a bee in its bonnet, was kind of sworn. That may be Spikes and Hightower and kind of that energy we talk about. Overall, I thought late in the red area, the defense was better. They were just moving forward. And I said to Paul, you know, I temper my enthusiasm, but I want to see Hightower moving towards the line of scrimmage. I want to see Spikes moving towards the line of scrimmage. There was one run blitz from Hightower where he blew it up. He didn't make the play, but helmets are banging. They're coming. If we're going to give up big plays, let's give them up being aggressive. And we get samples of this every summer, it seems like. And then Paul goes, we get regular season, and it's 60 cover two or whatever.
6-2 stack monster.
But I wrote about it in the preview. I'm now referring to it as my SECD when I have Mayo, Spikes,
Hightower
on the field.
Yep.
I think there's a lot of potential there. And I obviously throw Chandler Jones in there. One-on-ones today. He had another good day against Nate Solder. This youth, this athleticism, let's take advantage of it. Let's fly around, make our mistakes full speed, and have some fun.
That's one good point that I'd like to just close with, is that as nice it is as it is to see Chandler Jones making some plays, getting in the backfield, the flip side of that coin is he's doing it predominantly against Nate Solder, who's projected to be your starting left tackle, and I don't like the fact that...
Well, if he's the defensive player of the year and Nate Solder only has trouble against the defensive player of the year, we're fine.
Well, that's... Okay, but
isn't it amazing how he can do it with the guys that he likes? How he takes that turn.
No, so but just something to keep in mind.
And we know that Nate Solder is going to get some help, just like Matt Light got help.
Right. Yes.
Daniel Graham made a career out of it here, helping out Matt Light.
Sure.
So we'll give him help. We have enough weapons on this offense, so sometimes tight ends can be used as traditional tight ends and to help out block. But I'm not quite ready to say I'm scared of Nate Solder.
I'm not scared at all.
O-line
just,
people.
It was just an observation that I think bears noting.
No, I'm going to maintain the faith in Dante Scarnecchia and that offensive line. I'm not concerned at all. Sticking with that group, Donald Thomas today, I thought, flashed a little bit. He got a chance to run with the ones. He was the left guard in the team periods all day. Thought he handled himself well. And one of the substitute tackles today, first time we've seen him in pads since he's been here, Darian Weems, I thought was physical, throwing guys around a little bit in some of those one-on-ones.
He did. Tossed him to the ground
so
at one point.
So good first impression for undrafted rookie out of Oregon?
Yes, Oregon.
Oregon. Out of Oregon.
He weems like a very good player.
He weems like a very good player.
On that note, with programming note for you, tomorrow there will be practice, but it'll be the season ticket holder
and there
access
will be no
only
podcast as a result.
As a result of that, right, because that's at night and it'll be very late. Paul Perilla will be covering that for you. But we'll be back on Thursday first with PFW in progress at 11 a.m. live, 11 to 1, right before practice. Practice from 1:30 to 4. Then we'll have a podcast on Thursday, so join us then.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com.